Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Thanks for listening to Creative Control. While I have you here, please consider supporting Youth Empowerment and Support Services, otherwise known as YES. Based in Edmonton, Alberta, YES provides immediate and low-barrier overnight and day shelter, temporary supportive housing, and individualized wraparound supports for young people aged 15 to 24. They work collaboratively within a network of care focused on the prevention of youth homelessness by providing youth with the necessary supports to stabilize their housing, improve their well-being, build life skills, connect with community, and avoid re-entry into homelessness. Learn more about how to donate or otherwise support YES by visiting YESS.org.
Hey, this is Adam from Toronto, and I support Creative Control because Vish is full stop one of the best arts interviewers in Canada, or anywhere in the world, really. He approaches every episode like he's known the artist for years, creating a conversational atmosphere that gets straight to the heart of the work. No one else in podcasting gets it quite right like he does, with a mixture of meticulous research, wise artistic insights, and well-humored personal connections. I proudly support Vish and Creative Control on Patreon. You should too.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Adam Horovitz is a gifted multi-instrumentalist, writer, MC, producer, actor, singer, and nice person who currently lives in the state of California. Originally from New York City, Horovitz, Michael Diamond, and the late, great Adam Yauch revolutionized modern music as the pioneering hip-hop group Beastie Boys, in which they respectively performed as Ad-Rock, Mike D, and MCA. Beyond a stunning discography in which every album is an essential, timeless, and influential release, Beastie Boys transformed music video productions, made memorable appearances on television, and contributed to a lot of positive and galvanizing thoughts about human potential on this strange planet. Since Adam Yauch's deeply sad and untimely passing in 2012, Beastie Boys are not an active musical group, but that doesn't mean they don't still make cool and unique things. In 2018, Spiegel & Grau published the monumental Beastie Boys book, which was complemented by an ambitious and star-studded audiobook, which must be heard to be appreciated. And after Horovitz and Diamond staged a book tour in select theaters, director Spike Jonze created the entertaining 2020 film Beastie Boys Story for Apple TV+. Beastie Boys have been a force of good in my life since I was 9 years old. And after many years of trying to make this happen, I'm so thrilled to present this talk I had with Adam Horovitz about many aspects of that band, including their records and recent projects, covering most periods of their existence, delving into some curiosities I've had about various things they've done that impressed or baffled me over the past 30-odd years, whether fans can expect fresh, unreleased Beastie Boys music, and an update on the long-lost Hot Sauce Committee Part 1 album. Whether or not he writes rhymes and makes music much these days, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, which is the primary source of revenue for all the work that I put into this podcast. If you can support the show financially, like I say, it's flexible, it's monthly. You can learn more about how to do so at patreon.com/creativecontrol. With additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and very friendly staff will help. They'll help you with whatever you need, really, if you go see them in person. Or, hey, if you want to order something using their website, blackbird.ca, you can. Say you want to order, I don't know, the entire Beastie Boys discography. Well, good on you. You can, maybe. I don't know. Type in what you want at blackbird.ca, and they'll either be able to deliver it to you or keep it in stock for you, and then you can come pick it up. Thank you to Blackbird Music. I just want to say that. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, with extra special thanks to Guy and Kathy for hooking this up. This is episode 770 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Adam Horovitz, also known as Ad-Rock from Beastie Boys, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Adam. How's it going?
It's going good. Just letting you know that my dog's been barking a lot today, so you might hear some barks.
Oh, that's fine. I'm a fan of dogs. What's your dog's name?
Terry.
Terry? T-E-R-R-Y? Terry? Is that how you... I don't know why.
I can't remember if it's a Y or an I. Whatever. It's a dog.
It's a dog. That's nice.
It's the dog that's at my house.
And it's your dog. It's not an intruder dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no. Nice. Nice. Terry sounds like that's a good name for it. Is it named after somebody?
I mean, not particularly. Okay. But, I mean, sorta, but not really.
Sorta?
I mean, kinda. We've had the dog for a while, but, you know, Terry obviously, like, is, you know, Terry Hall from the Specials is, you know, probably my favorite Terry.
Yeah. I can't even think of other Terrys off the top of my head that aren't hockey players. So let's go with Terry Hall.
Terry Gar. I don't know.
Terry Gar. That's a T-E-R-I, though. See? That's a different... That's why I asked. See, it was germane that I asked. Anyway, it's very nice, incredibly nice, to get to speak with you. I can't convey to you, and I don't mean to fawn right away, but this is very meaningful to me and my household. We are Beastie Boys fans for life, and I don't know exactly how that happened. Well, I share a lot of the blame. I just want to say it's an honor. Thank you for this time. I want to begin, after fawning, by asking, where in the world are you today?
Well, I'm in my kitchen. You hear the phone? Why do I have a phone?
You have a telephone, like a landline?
I've never answered it.
I just installed one a couple months ago because I realized my kids, if something were to go haywire, they don't have phones. You know, so we taught them you dial 911 and nothing will probably happen. But still, I understand. It's fine. I don't hear it. That's fine. Where in the world, though, is your kitchen?
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm in California.
Are you living?
Oh, you want my street address?
No, I don't want.
You want my street address?
Well, I don't think it's okay. It's not relevant. Do you want to give it? I don't.
I don't know. You can come over if you want, but you know,
this
for
is
another
smart.
Time.
Another time.
I'll text it to you. Okay.
So you have a home in? Are you bi-coastal? I think of you as New York, Adam. That's why I ask.
Yeah, no. I've been here for a couple of years. It's nice. You know, change of pace.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Are you, has it become complicated as a basketball fan to be bi-coastal? Because you already had a situation. I've always wanted to ask someone like yourself about this, because based on my knowledge of the Beastie Boys, Knicks fans, but then you got the Nets in Brooklyn. So I initially was like, what do they do with that? What do you do as a Brooklyn, New York person? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm a Manhattan person.
That's true.
I am... Born and raised in Manhattan. I've always been a Knicks fan. We're Knicks fans. Our family. Nothing against the Brooklyn Nets. They're just another team.
Okay. Do you cheer? Do you want them to do well? Is there a rivalry in New York?
You know, I don't want them to do poorly. You know? But I'm a Knicks fan. You don't know what it's like being a Knicks fan. I guess, you know, for a Raptors fan up until recently, I guess you kind of know. But
yeah. Any kind of Toronto
hope
fan.
Is, you know, yeah. you keep hope in your pocket when you're a Knicks fan.
So even as an East Coast, I'm from Ontario originally. So even as an East Coast, I now live in Edmonton. So I don't really have a basketball region per se. But I used to hate the Lakers a lot.
Most people do.
Yeah. But I even the other day.
I try to talk to my friends from here and remind them that the rest of the country hates the Lakers.
So you're not going to Lakers? Do you go to Lakers or Clippers games?
I went to the Knicks Lakers game.
Okay, so you're representing. Okay, that's good. And how are you feeling generally, if I may, as we're speaking? It's almost the end of the regular season. This wasn't, by the way, meant to be a complete ball talk. I just thought I'm making conversation because I'm obsessed with basketball right now. It's been a weird season, I find. How are you finding the season? How are you finding, by the way, Knicks doing surprisingly well, I would argue. How are you feeling about basketball right now?
I am excited about the basketball. I love the basketball, as usual. I don't know what to say about the Knicks. Like I said, it's tough to be hopeful when you're a Knicks fan, like a lifelong Knicks fan. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
And they're in fifth place right now, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know Julius Randle's status as of right now. Yeah. I didn't watch yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm happy for them. I can't get too excited.
That's fine. Are you someone, because one of our mutual friends, a fellow named Guy, will only really talk to me about how the Wizards in Washington are doing. And then he assumes I only care about the Raptors. But I long ago, you remember when Wayne Gretzky got traded from the Edmonton Oilers to the Los Angeles Kings in 1988?
I mean, I don't know where I was at the moment when I heard, but I kind of, sure, Wayne Gretzky. No, I'm not, hockey's fine.
Hockey's fine, but my point is, imagine being, what was I? I was like 11 years old. And you're like, the guy just won, by the way, so Adam, brief history lesson. Guy won him four Stanley Cups, and they traded him the summer after they won the last cup. And I was like, oh, my, as a child, I was like, what? And then as I got older, I realized, oh, it's all just business, and this is all just laundry, and they just go wherever they go. They're little pawns in some people's games. So I got less about, so when Guy's like Raptors, I'm like, well, to be honest, I just like the game now. I just follow whatever's on the TV. I just love basketball so much. I will pick, if there's three things, I might pick one of them and then alternate between channels. Are you at that stage?
Yes, I have my teams. I do have my my league pass teams, of course.
Okay, so are you allowed to say as a Knicks fan, who else?
Yeah, just because you like Bruce Willis, does it mean you can't like, what the fuck is, some other motherfucker, I don't know.
Jason Statham? Jason Statham is maybe the comparable.
Oh, that was a good one.
Well, they're both
That's not
bald.
Who I was thinking. I was thinking Neeson's.
Oh, yeah, Liam Neeson. Yeah, he stepped up his action game there. That's true. No, I just wonder. So you're not.
Yes, I love the Grizzlies, the Thunder. I like Utah.
You like Utah?
You got to have one of those. I'm excited for all of them. I regret oddly not watching as many moments of the Houston Rockets this season.
Oh, okay. The Rockets. Interesting. So
the Rockets.
You're into the lower tier teams as well. It's not all the glory.
Not necessarily. I think there's like a couple people that are like, I didn't watch enough I didn't watch enough Thunder.
Yes.
You know what I mean.
My son is obsessed with Shea, who's Canadian. So we got that going.
I didn't know
on.
That.
Yeah. Well, we have to keep.
I was watching a game. I was watching a game, and I noticed that when he was injured or sidelined, he was wearing a Reba McEntire shirt. Did you ever?
Oh, Reba McEntire. Sorry, I was thinking of Rita McNeil, who is a Canadian icon. Reba McEntire, the country singer.
Oh, no, Reba McEntire. Oh, yes,
that's fascinating. I wonder what that's
anyway.
About.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm going to send you the picture.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I did not know that. Well, listen, I appreciate the NBA talk. I will say that I was really looking forward to this on the one hand, but I got full on Beastie Boys zone for myself, and I dug in to this fantastic. I'm going to hold it up like we're on a TV talk show, even though no one's going to see this. This book of yours is one of my favorite books of all time. It's called Beastie Boys Book. For the listeners, it's fantastic. I loved it as soon as I got it. You know, my sister, when the audiobook came out, she's like, oh my God, the audiobook's fantastic. I'm like, that's cheating.
Audiobook's the best. The
audiobook is the best, and I just want to confess that I didn't dig in until recently. Because she said it, and I'm like, why would you listen to the audiobook when you can read the book? That's cheating on the test. And she was like, I don't know, you should check out the audiobook. And I did, and it's fantastic. So ambitious. I have so many questions about that. But what I was going to say is, in studying you guys recently and in my whole life, I have noticed that you tend to have a penchant, all of you did, for goofing on interviewers. And that gave me a little bit of nervousness. Not mean-spirited, just like we are not going to answer any questions sometimes, and we're going to just go and have fun. That was a conscious thing for all of you to be like, we can't take ourselves this seriously with these serious questions. Is that fair?
I mean, look, we started doing interviews when we were teenagers, right? And so if you and your two best friends, when you're, what, 18, are supposed to be in a serious environment answering, I don't know, we were just idiot teenagers. I don't know, we thought it was funny.
But it seemed to carry on.
Not, you know.
In your 20s and 30s.
Yes, yeah. And then, yes, but there's also a thing of, you know, having conversations or just, you know, somebody that's like, oh shit, I got this gig and nothing against, you know, we all got to eat, we got to work. And so, you know, somebody who's, you know, a music person that has interesting questions about music or whatever.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone who's like, oh shit, I got, you know, my Reba thing in like a half hour. And they just—it's just questions that like could be asked of anybody.
Yes.
That's just not as fun. I don't think.
Right. Okay. So you.
What inspired you know?
But so it was just a way to. You seem to be amusing yourselves as much as possible is what I'm getting at, and I always enjoyed it as a child, as a kid, like just how much fun you seem to be having at the expense of, you know, some people, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate it. Although now I'm a little nervous, but I feel fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, the good news is you don't know where I live. So well,
I have an approximate.
I could just be a kitchen in California. You know, what I really don't like. I don't like these.
What's that? The headphones? Oh, no, those.
No,
those
they're like the pull
cabinets. Yeah, yeah, they're the old school cabinet handles, I would say. Mm-hmm. Can't you replace them or something?
That's my toaster.
Toaster oven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to set the scene for people. You've got a toaster oven.
I know, I appreciate it. I know.
That's an old, specific. That's sort of old school in a sense.
Well, people I switched. I switched from a toaster to a toaster oven.
You switched completely. I used to have both. I used to have both for the toast and the Pop-Tarts and then the toaster oven for the reheating of. I hate microwaves. Always have.
Yeah.
Do you like microwaves? Okay.
I do now. I never had one growing up.
You like them now? I think.
Oh, I got my first one when I was like 32.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say I'm team toaster. I only say this because they're relatively the same shape. Team toaster oven over microwave is what I wanted to mention there. So I'm glad you highlighted that. My point.
I don't have the time. You know, I've just got this and that to do.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
On the go.
But you can't put like a samosa in a microwave. You can't. It doesn't.
You can. It's no, just soggy. You know what it is? I've grown to appreciate soggy food.
But I like if a food is meant to have a crispiness to it, I find the microwave, and I'm not a scientist, but it sucks all the good juice, like the good stuff out of it. It microwave.
Yes. I have microwave samosas often, to be honest with you.
That's a travesty.
It's kind of like a kind of damp ball.
That's pretty good, though. Do you hear how you're talking about my people's food? That's disgusting.
Look, you'll see. After age 50, man, it's all downhill. You know, you got to watch out for your teeth.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's true. You want it soggy. No, this is good. I want to talk to you about this book then, because We've talked a little bit about... here's the thing. Here's what occurred to me. Sometimes when I heard your voice on the audiobook and I watched the Spike Jonze excellent movie and all that stuff, sometimes you talk about stuff that happened to you guys like you can't believe any of it happened. Do you know where I'm coming from there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a common theme. Like, all your stories are like that in the book. I feel like you won't believe this. Do you believe now? Like, can you grasp that this has happened to you, or does it all still seem sort of surreal?
I own a house. I have a fucking swimming pool. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know what else to say. Also, listen to our records. They're not like... I don't know. They're weird. It's not like we have pop ballads or... I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, who the fuck is trying to call me right now?
Oh, yeah. I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. It's not me calling you somehow with... Also, no? Okay, it's not like a David Lynch thing. Yeah, no, I get it.
It's my grandmother. She's in the hospital, but...
Oh, my God.
Forget it. I'll just call
I'm
her
sorry.
Back. I'm fucking I'm kidding.
Do you know that you sing in Get It Together? I got a Grandma Hazel and a Grandma Tilly, and that's from a long time ago, so I hope... I'm sorry if any... You know what I'm saying. My point was my kids, two friends, son, growing up, Hazel and Tilly. We always thought that was weird. Anyway, I'm all over the place. Isn't that odd? Don't you think? See, you talk about surrealism. I think that's weird.
That's very weird. I mean,
two friends.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? He's Hazel and Tilly, and they were his friends. Yeah. And in Ontario. And I'm just like, what the? Anyway, we also love Get It Together. My wife thinks that my son
is Quebecois.
No, Tilly is short for Matilda. Hazel is Hazel. No, my wife and I were just talking about how my son's predilection for Beastie Boys may emanate from the fact that on a couple of occasions, my wife and my sister and I have performed Get It Together live with a band.
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry.
What? What? Why the apology? That's a fantastic song.
No, it was to the audience. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus. So I didn't even think
stop.
Of that.
All right.
We did
right,
a good job, Adam. I think there's
really
footage.
With a band.
Yeah, we had a band, and it was for my sister's birthday party, her 30th, maybe. And we did it on a couple other occasions, too, because it was a bit of a hit. And it was three people doing four people's parts, so we would alternate. I would start as Q-Tip, and then it was... Anyway, yeah, my son, we think... That's probably legit, right? In the womb, mom's dancing and singing a Beastie Boys song, hearing it a bunch of times.
Are you actually asking me that? Because I don't actually know.
I'm asking you as a professional, doctor.
I've never studied in utero, like, anything. So I don't...
I appreciate that. No, that's fine. I will pepper this conversation with a little bit of fawning and connection. I apologize. My thing about you guys is, I think it's Kate... No, it's Amy Poehler in the audiobook talks about how when she's watching your videos, you remind her of the Three Stooges. And it seems to me that you were, in the early days, satirizing something, and people didn't get it. Is that a fair way of putting it in terms of your relationship to comedy? Because you've always been very funny. And every day of my life, I just recite a line from a random Beastie Boys song, and it makes me smile and laugh inside because the comedy is so apparent. But I feel like, on some level, you were a bit stung by people not getting the joke at various points in your career, but certainly the early part. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I don't know. For The License to Ill, for our time with Rick Rubin, we definitely, put on characters and we're, being Three Stooges. And, and I write about it in the book. It's the sort of thing of we are making fun of a thing and then you kind of become the thing that you're making fun of.
Yeah.
So I think we had to step back from that, and that doesn't mean that it wasn't fun or it wasn't funny, but I guess it wasn't that fun is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I gather that from all the stories you
trying
told.
To act, like trying to act like a certain thing is a bummer after a certain time because then you're not yourself.
Yeah. So when you do Paul's Boutique after that period and I guess you were reinventing yourselves, and I was struck by the fact that, when you guys tell the story about Paul's Boutique and flopping, is that the wrong word to use? Commercially flopping? bombing? What's the right word?
It's all perspective, because it's sold, you know, whatever, like 500,000 copies or something.
Seems good. That seems really good.
It seems fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But
you have a house and a pool and a toaster oven. That's fine. 500,000 people helped you get that, at least. Look at that toaster oven. It's gleaming. For those who can't see it, it's shining. Yeah, no. My point, though, is what occurred to me is, because you talk about everyone now views Paul's Boutique as a masterpiece in hip-hop, a pioneering record in hip-hop. But I wonder if it didn't do as well. What do you say? Crickets, I think, in the book. You say crickets.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Fight for Your Right was more of a... And License to Ill was viewed more as a rock record? And that you, by making a more proper, if you will, hip-hop record, that's partially why people didn't grab onto it? Do you think that's the case, maybe? I can't go back to that. All I know is when I was a kid, that Hey Ladies video, my sister and I were home for the summer, and that video was on 17 times a day. And we would just sit there, and they would put it on a loop after, like... And Bat Dance by Prince was also... At the same time, same era, and I just loved it. I love Beastie Boys, and I just always did. Anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, my thing. Do you think it was like a rock rap thing, maybe even?
Well, there's a few things.
Yeah.
And just something popped in my head that I haven't thought about in a long time. When Paul's Boutique came out, I heard Hey Ladies on the radio. And I was like, oh, shit, it's our song, and I'm driving around in a car. And when it ended, the DJ was like, have you seen that video? Boy, it looks like it's so cheap. It's like, looks like it cost $10 to make. And it was like by far the most expensive thing that we'd ever done. So I don't know what that has to do with anything. I think rap was becoming a thing, right? People were understanding and knowing because of Run DMC that rap was out there in the world. And then, you know, white guys are doing that rap thing. And so it's, you know, it's happened to me over the years so many times where people like, you know, oh, I love your band. I mean, I don't like rap music, but you guys.
Yeah. Well, I encountered that in a high school lunch room where for some reason we got to play music. Every once in a while, the kids got to pick the music that went on through the PA. And my friend and I, who had bonded over Check Your Head, somebody played Tribe Called Quest. And he was like, this is crap. I'm like, it's just... These guys are friends with Beastie Boys. Yeah. He's like, no, that sucks. But I'm like, but we Check Your Head. We rap along. No. And I was like, oh. So, I mean, at that point, I didn't think racism, but there was probably something to that. So anyway, I don't really have a grand point either. It just occurred to me as to why you guys don't really talk about, you just say it flopped and Capitol at the time wasn't very helpful. You had these know-nothing A&Rs. But as I was kind of thinking about the time, Fight for Your Right in particular is basically a rock song. Like, if you really think about it, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know.
All those Rick and...
Yeah, and they were big, and I put them on MTV and all of that. So, rock band. Yeah. White guys.
That's probably what... I'm just saying, don't feel bad about Paul's Boutique, Adam. It's wonderful. I know that it's...
I feel just okay about it. I feel, you know, better than okay about it.
You rank your records in a way in the book, and you talk about it. You talk about Hella Nasty being your favorite record, and that's cool. But does Paul's Boutique loom large for you? Like, are you still, despite the whatever, the reception at the time, are you starting to recognize it as for what it is, like this pioneering thing?
I mean, and here's what I say is that Paul's Boutique was getting ready to come out. And I don't know when it happened, but just before Paul's Boutique came out, De La Soul, 3 Feet High and Rising came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, these fucking guys. You know, they were doing the thing that we thought we were like, oh, this is our, you know.
Right.
We're doing this thing.
Yeah.
And Public Enemy, you know, had already done some crazy shit, you know, sonically, right? But yeah, De La Soul, man.
Well, the sampling, that's the golden age.
But I love Paul's Boutique. I do. I think it's great. I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Fair enough. As we were listening to your book, and I was telling my wife more about the stories. As we were listening to the audiobook, that sounded weird. We just hold the book up to our ears. We were listening to your audiobook together, and she's like, this is so fascinating. You should ask Adam if he did any real journal keeping. Like, is this all a memory jog? And I was like, that's a good question, Michelle. I will ask Adam that. Adam, did you do a lot of journal keeping throughout your time in Beastie Boys?
Not so much.
So it's mostly memories you're drawing from?
Well, so I have lyric books, you know, just like rhyme pages, and I got a bunch of books.
Yeah.
And so in those books, there's, you know, some journal stuff.
Like,
it didn't turn out to be as helpful as I thought it might.
Did it not seem? I don't keep a journal as a person. Yeah. I trust my brain as much as I can. And as the years go on, I'm like, someone's like, that's not exactly what happened. I'm like, oh, really? That's what it's in my brain this way. Did you regret not doing it on any level? Like, did it just seem like you realized what you were doing, I think, at the time, or what was happening to you guys was significant, I'm sure, right? Encounters, experiences.
It was significant to me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's for me, I missed it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would journal and then never read it and not reference back to it. And so it was just a thing that,
I don't know.
Didn't do much for me.
I guess you're not thinking legacy or reflection, because you've done a few. I'm just looking at my record collection. I think about the Sounds of Science anthology. You guys engaged in some reflection prior to all this activity we're describing.
Yeah.
Was that fun at the time? So I'm talking like, when was that? 1999 or something? Like, you were in that zone of like putting together compilations and whatnot. Did you find those prior to the book, which is really comprehensive, and the movie and all these other things, did you find any of that compilation work kind of fun? Or was it like, oh shit, our past?
No, it's fun. It's really fun to sort of put a sort of pathway and timeline into the thing you've done for years, into the music we've made.
Yeah.
And picking which songs sort of, you know, pop out or, you know, sort of go with the timeline.
Yeah.
Where we were sort of at. Like, if we were going to put, you know, Fight Fair at the Party wouldn't be the one song off of that first album. You know what I mean? There'd be, you know, Hold It Now would be a more important song to me.
Right.
And so we try to just, I have no memory of what are on our compilations. But I know we went back actually and did like these box sets a few years ago. And that was really fun because we started listening to all this like unreleased stuff that we had.
Yeah. And that's fun. Like, because that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask about this at some point because it looms large for me. I mean, you guys, for those of us who've collected singles, there's all these at least digital, if not physical, deluxe editions of the records now. You've released a lot of stuff that is beyond the records we know. I've gotten the inkling from some press you guys did around the time that the book came out that there might be more stuff that we haven't heard. As generous as you, to my mind, it's generous what you've given us in terms of extra stuff, odds and ends.
Well, I appreciate the swimming pool and the house. So,
well, it's reciprocal. It's a reciprocal generosity. Yes, you give us music, and we give you the pool and the toaster oven. Is there more? Is there something?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a substantial? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of stuff. Doesn't mean it's good, but there's a lot of stuff. A lot of music, like a lot of instrumental, a lot of playing.
And from every era, roughly, of the band? Or from...
Yeah, like...
I only asked...
25 years of just playing music.
Right.
Not necessarily. There's, you know, we have a bunch of rap songs also that never came out, but the bulk of it is like stoner jams.
Right. I can appreciate
that.
So
I don't know if the world is like, you know, I don't know what the saying is, but, you know, really needs that right now. But maybe they want it. I don't know. They're going to get it at some point because I'm going to put it out.
Isn't that what Burt Bacharach said? What the world needs now is stoner jams? Something like that. I think that's, I might have that wrong. My point was going to be.
I totally heard that song differently, but. Right. Okay.
That's what I hear. I don't know. That's something about me and how I process information. If you've done the culling of some of that stuff for the stuff we've gotten. Like, you kind of qualified it by saying, and I assume with all modesty and humility, I don't know if it's good. Is there stuff in that trove we haven't heard where you're like, oh shit, I cannot wait for people to hear this. We've been sitting on this, these couple of things or whatever. This is like, I mean, we all know the, I can never tell if it's a joke that Hot Sauce Committee Volume 1 was lost in a hard drive. I never know. I've never understood if this is true.
We actually have a whole full album. I'm not even kidding.
You have it back? Did you get the hard drive back? What's going on with that?
That I can't disclose, but I can tell you with all honesty, there is a whole other album.
But what about the whole narrative that it was lost in a... I forget where you said you lost it.
In a boxcar.
Missoula, Montana?
We've got leads on it. Leads.
Okay. So you're saying, and I don't want
to... Tracking down shit on a boxcar, like boxcar grifters in 2023 is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I can see that being a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
So you're going to get on one of those pump trolleys and chase after the boxcar and get the hard drive back, perhaps. But are you being sincere? Is there any way to get a sincere answer about a Hot Sauce Committee? All I was getting at, by the way, and I don't mean to get lost in this, but I'm just curious. Are you yourself stoked to present us with stuff you haven't presented us with before, or are you all?
Yes.
You
are. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Me and Mike have a bunch of stuff that never came out that would be really fun to put together and put out.
Okay. As like a,
and we will.
And is it, so it'll be like a compilation like that transcends time and space, or?
It hasn't gotten to that stage yet. I've got ideas.
You've got ideas. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now, we were talking about journal keeping. I feel like, is everything all right?
No, I didn't notice this thing.
You've got a little flappy thing in your headphones.
Journal keeping.
This is a perfect segue because you have a lot of fun with technology. Talking in this book, you drop little allusions to modern technology and how it's different. Because I will tell you, Adam, the first time I read Beastie Boys' book, I don't want to paint too vivid a picture for you, but I tend to read at night in bed. That's when I do most of my reading. It helps me fall asleep. And I have my cellular telephone is near me. And your book is among the first ones where, because you cite so many influences and songs and playlists, I was distracted. I would grab my phone, unfortunately, and start to create the playlist that you were recommending. I again, not to fawn, thank you. Thank you for always... I don't want to get emotional. I'm starting to feel emotional. But between everything you guys did, the Grand Royal, the book, I feel like you were always teaching us stuff. And I know that sounds lofty, but I just want to thank you for that. It's not something that I take for granted to be pointed to source material or influences. It's meaningful. It's a meaningful... You didn't have to do that. So can I just compose myself and say thank you for that over the years?
You're absolutely welcome.
Yeah. Where I was coming...
It's just when you say teaching is that I barely graduated high school. So
that's...
I think, part of the thing about talking about so much music and musicians and bands and songs and all of that is just because we grew up sort of making tapes for each other.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of thing to put out there, yeah, you share with each other.
No, I love that you scan your tapes in the book, the cover. By the way, I can't read a goddamn word. It's chicken scratch. I'm sorry. Is that offensive? It's your scrawling. I'm like, am I supposed to know? Can you even read it? Your own handwriting?
Not always. I'll say it's better than my brother and sisters.
That's fine. I don't know why you threw them under the bus. They're not here to defend themselves. I don't know.
Well, because at least it's there's worse. Is all.
Oh,
I'm saying.
I see. That's one way of looking at life. It could always be worse. Where I was coming from, though, is I didn't really, until reading the book, it didn't occur to me how technological your band has been in terms of how interested in technology and on the forefront of trying. Yauk in particular would just try shit. It seems.
Yeah,
like
I was going to say that was never me. So the whole thing with Ian Rogers in the book, there's a whole thing with our friend Ian Rogers about bringing the internet on tour with us,
mm-hmm,
which I did not understand mm-hmm. at the time. I was like, okay, if that Ian guy wants to do the thing, then sure. He, you know, I mean, I didn't mean it like that Ian guy. I didn't know him so well back then. But I didn't get it at all. And I didn't understand why Adam and Mike were so enthusiastic about it. And it wasn't for me. Looking back, maybe I could have paid attention.
But you're talking about the internet and a guy trying to build you a fans or a website, I think, right? Is that what you're kind of alluding to mostly?
Ian Rogers, yeah, yeah.
What I'm talking about, though...
It's in the book.
Yeah, that is in the book. What I'm talking about is you have the opportunity, you're given some money to go buy a Rickenbacker guitar. I think you're given $250. That Rickenbacker's got to be worth more than that by now. By the way, I'm riffing on memory. If I'm wrong, you fact-check me, Adam.
Right. No.
You were given money to buy a Rickenbacker for $250, but you chose instead, as I recall, to buy a drum machine. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And it was an 808?
So in the book, in my life, it's a longer story, but I acquired $250 cash.
And, it's very sordid, everyone. If you read the book, you'll see. It's a sordid situation.
You read the book. Yeah. And so I wanted to get... I had a shitty guitar, and I was like, oh, what if I had a cool guitar like, you know, Paul Weller from The Jam? And so my mom's friend had a used music store, and I would go up there and hang out time to time, and they had a Rickenbacker, just like Paul Weller's, for $250. Mm-hmm. So I went up to the store to buy the guitar. Right at the counter was an 808 drum machine. And I don't know... I honestly don't actually know what it was. I just was like, oh, rap music. They make music with these drum machines these days. I'm going to try that. So there you
go. But that's not just Yauch then. So you... I get it. Yauch was... such a brilliant guy and by all accounts, and would try things and fuck with things that in ways like he would take I'm a drummer, so one of my favorite stories is the story of him trying to emulate the John Bonham kick drum sound, and you guys create him spearheading it, I understand, creating this 10-foot long cardboard tube to get this amazing sound and putting PZM mics, I think, inside of it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a genius. What a genius. And I know that you, sorry, Adam, I don't mean to assume too much, but I do sense that you are a very humble fellow. I think you are also, every time I read something about how you had a little booth and you chopped up a beat and you cut this up and you sampled it, you are technological. Is that a fair way of putting it?
I guess, yeah. I feel like I'm late to it, but, you know.
But how could you be late to it? In this band, you were always on the forefront of things. I have this argument, and you're going to hate me. You're not going to hate me. Why would you hate me? I'm a nice guy. Don't hate me. But my argument is that for a certain generation, Beastie Boys were as culturally pervasive and influential as we believe the Beatles were. In terms of changing the way people made things, sounds, the way I dressed was informed by Beastie Boys. It's just, and I know I'm not alone in this. So all I'm getting at is, you guys, I think, are humble punks, which I have always appreciated. Your records are really weird, but I hope you can appreciate that some of us think you changed things by trying things. Like, ultimately, that's what I hear a lot in the spirit of, in the records and in the spirit of, when you guys are talking about how you stumble, you kind of make it seem like you're three Inspector Clouseaus who just stumbled into something. But I think you're more like Columbo. I think you knew what you were doing. Does that make sense?
I mean, I think it's definitely a combination. I mean, you can't, you know, there's a little bit of Jim Rockford in there too. But
yeah, sure, there's a little bit of Perry
Mason.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm technological as well. You know, I like to do things differently.
Yes.
As they say.
But do you keep up? So, like, you're in the book, you kind of allude to the fact, like, now you have a whole chapter. It's not even on smartphones. I don't know if you have an Apple deal. Oh, yeah, you guys did. But you have a whole chapter on the iPhone in particular, which I have. I like the iPhone. It's good. It's one of the better ones. You seem to be trying to bridge this gap between Yauch reeling, you know, reel-to-reel tape around a microphone stand and chairs and what's possible now. And I just wonder if you can elaborate upon that. Like, do you think what we have, like, it's just, I don't know. I'm sure you can see how this is a much easier time than you had, but do you also see a connection between Yauch doing that in his kitchen and you guys trying things with what's available now on some level, like the tools we all have. It could seem like anyone can make anything. I don't know if I even have a question here, but do you relate to the, like how people are making stuff
now? Yeah, I think,
now?
I mean, yeah. I guess I say it like this. Like my friend Ada wrote a book about St. Mark's Place in New York. And like the theme going through it all was that every generation was like, oh, St. Mark's, in my day, it was cool. But now, not so much.
Right.
And it's been happening, it's been at that since the 1700s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think my generation of making music was, you know, we tried different things. We, you know, experimental. Like there was a lot more experimental. But I don't actually know what kids are doing now at all. You know what I'm saying? Like if there has to be experiments happening right now that you and I don't know, that people are doing sonically and with video and, you know, all kinds of things that we just don't know about. And so it's too easy to be like, oh, everything's on your phone. You can just do it on your phone. It's like, sure, you can. But like not everybody wants to do everything on their phone.
An interesting cross section for Beastie Boys to me is Check Your Head, because you come out of this really sample heavy period. People are sampling other people's stuff to make their music. And you guys have the epiphany, wait a minute, what if we just sample ourselves? Was anyone else doing that per se, to your recollection? Of like, we'll just play the, instead of just, we'll just ape it a little bit, but play it ourselves. Sorry, that's maybe the wrong way of putting it. Was anyone else kind of doing that besides you guys at that time?
I don't know.
I know you have a camera.
Not that I know of.
I know you have cameras in everyone's house.
Not that I know of, you know. Like I said, you know, we thought we were onto a thing, and then De La Soul came out with the thing.
But that was a sample-heavy record. That's a sample-oriented record. That is a landmark. You guys, those two records in particular. Sorry. No, it's not Pet Sounds and Sgt. Pepper. I don't like it.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah.
All the best early rap records have a live band.
Yes.
Right. Right. They didn't have drum machines. And so so we were just trying different things. Whether we're certainly not the first rap group to have a band. And it's probably not the first, you know, plenty of samples that people did. But, you know, I don't know if we weren't, you know, one of the first, you know, rap groups that was a band that played our own music, that did the, you know, did the whole thing.
I see. You always seem to have reverence for the early days of hip hop. I mean, your style as MCs was always, you know, reflective of that. I'm just getting at, from Check Your Head onward, it felt to me that you were always looking at whatever conventional ways of making music. I just mean playing instruments. I don't mean anything more than that. But again, you call Yauch Mr. Fuzz Pedal. You know, like, or something like that, when Mr. Fuzz Pedal...
He's the techno whiz.
He was a techno whiz, but he was also, when he had that fuzz pedal, you said he became a different...
Super fuzz.
Super fuzz, he became a different person. That's technology. But what I'm getting at is, from that point forward, it seemed to be always a conscious, except for maybe Five Boroughs, of like, wait, did you guys play any of your own instruments on Five Boroughs? Like, and sample them? I can't remember. I think you did.
I think, but not so much.
Anyway, my point is you seem to always be like bridging. Here's what the technology is that helps us make music, but we'll always kind of land or start from a place of tradition, if you will. And that, I just think that's unusual. Like you were always looking forward, but also to make contemporary music, to always be looking forward and using the latest technology, but also using what we are used to, familiar with. That's inventive. That's interesting. You see where I'm coming from?
Yes. I get it. I don't see it that way, because when Yauch was doing the tape reels around his apartment, you know, he had heard that Jimi Hendrix did it, so he wanted to try.
Yes, that's right. And
when we play different types of music, like, you know, we just wanted to be like the Clash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is Sandinista your favorite Clash album? It's mine.
It is no.
What's your favorite?
The first record on London Calling. The first album and the first record on London Calling.
Okay. Those are your favorite. Do you not like Sandinista? I think Sandinista is where everything went. Like almost everything was this collage.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It was when it came out, it was too much for me to it was just a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right, listen, I'm mindful of the time, and I realize I've framed a lot of statements without asking too many questions. I apologize. I think I'm distracted by the toaster oven. I'll admit that right now. I'm hungry, and I want some. I want to ask you about some things that have long I've long been curious about. As you may have noticed, I have a Late Show with David Letterman mug. I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. You guys, I think, and I want to ask about some late night stuff, including Saturday Night Live. Letterman seemed to get you guys particularly inspired. You seemed to really, you did some TV stuff. Oh my God, that Arsenio Hall show appearance. Do you remember that? That is still one of my favorite things ever. Was that fun?
With Cypress Hill?
Yeah. You would go off. Adam, sure. You in particular seemed to go, your voice would just hit. But do you know where that is?
I wish I would have dialed the
do you do though?
The key down a little bit.
Huh? Do you really think you should have dialed it back? Because they're my favorite thing. I watched it's that just, when it was happening. I'm like, holy.
No, I just mean not the energy. I just mean like maybe if it would have come down, not a full octave, but you know what I mean. It's a little like, oh man, why is this fucking guy yelling at me?
I just want to tell you, as a fan of punk rock and hip hop, it's perfect. I thought it was always perfect. And Letterman particularly significant for you guys to do? Like you would do the rounds. You did Conan and you did other things. Was Letterman particularly like, we got to bring something to this? I'm just curious.
Yeah, Letterman was like, you know, our generation, like, you know, Johnny Carson was, it's like the previous generation, that sort of thing. And so when Letterman came on, he was like, if you got on Letterman, you know, you're on the fucking Dave Letterman show. I don't know, it was a big deal. He's in New York, all of that stuff.
And so were you guys like, we have to bring some, you guys, I think, always had a commitment to excellence.
Also, I just want to say, it's not like we were like, oh, wow, one day we're going to be on David Letterman. I don't, you know, it's not like that ever, I never thought to even be like, oh, I'm going to be on TV.
Yeah, right.
It just sort of happened.
No.
And it just kept happening.
I appreciate that. But at some point, it seemed like from, you had the very ambitious Check It Out video, which looks really fun, and they recently reposted that on the Letterman YouTube channel in sort of higher quality, and it looks great. And then you had the appearance for Awesome I Fucking Shot That, where it just seemed like you would bring things to that. There's one of my favorite television moments of all time, Yauch chest bumping Dave at the end of Sabotage.
Oh yeah,
do you remember that?
It seems really familiar. Yeah, he didn't like to be touched. Was the word
I wanted to ask? Don't touch Dave. You're not allowed to touch him, really? He shook hands.
It was like just don't. It was like it was probably the first time we were on there. They were like, someone came in. It was like, look, just don't fuck with Dave. Just don't like fucking touch him or like play with his hair or do some stupid shit. Not in those particular words, but it was that type of thing.
In my memory, first time is live at PJ's, like Check Your Head era on late night, maybe?
We played live at PJ's on David Letterman?
I think so.
Jesus Christ.
You actually, and then you did Sabotage. You would often, you would play as a band, and then you got to sing some leads on a couple of Letterman appearances. He had a bit where he would pretend he was afraid of you. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We were wild. I know.
But
I don't know Dave Letterman. I didn't know what I mean.
Did you interact with him at all beyond the handshakes and the whatnot, or did you?
That's it.
Okay.
I've said this so many times. The best, and no offense to whoever, hands down, Joan Rivers was the best talk show host we had ever met.
Really?
Like, no question. She was fucking awesome.
She liked you guys. And
she was awesome. She's running down the hall. Who's from Brooklyn? Who's from Brooklyn? So cool. She was great.
She did not like the album title License to Ill. She preferred License to Kill, as I recall. Do you remember this?
Oh, I don't know. She could have given a shit about her music, I'm sure.
You would take over, though. You sat on her. You guys just... I loved every late night appearance you guys did. It was always an event for me, and it's always seemed to be an event for you. And the Joan Rivers one, for those who haven't seen it, is very... I think it's on YouTube. You can watch it. You had comedians. She liked... She was a bit of a punk
just
rocker,
comedians.
Too.
We're just riffing.
SNL, Saturday Night Live, was that? You say you weren't aspiring to be on Letterman, but was that when you got the call or whatever? I don't know what the process was like, if you'd long wanted to be on that show, but that's a big New York institution? Were you excited to be on that show?
Yeah, Saturday Night Live is a huge deal. Huge, huge deal to be on Saturday Night Live. For me, you know, and I'm sure Adam and Mike just, you know, it's a New York show. We're from New York. We grew up when it grew up. You know, it's just like a big, and to be on there a bunch of times, fucking crazy.
How many times were you on? I remember, and tell me if I'm wrong, because some of it may have slipped past me in my youth. I feel like the first time might have been for Ill Communication. Were you on before that?
I don't know.
If you don't know, who would know?
The fucking internet. I don't know.
I remember, from my memory, that might have been, maybe there was another one. You wouldn't have done it in the, I don't know. Anyway, let's forget that. Well, maybe you did it in the 80s. I don't know. But my point is, you're on there and you do Sure Shot. And Adam, back to the Arsenio thing, you are amped. You are on fire. It's amazing. Memorable. Memorably amazing. But here's a thing that I noticed, and I don't think they did. You added fucks to the song. You added fucks that aren't on the song. You swore more. And then Yauch looks at you the first time you did. Won't you fucking listen? And then you're wandering around and he smiles at you because he's like, oh, no. Then he adds a bullshit to the bullshit mic part later. What was with all the cussing, Adam, on live TV?
I know.
Was
that toilet tongue? I don't know. I don't know. He said I was amped.
Did anyone say anything to you? Because they famously banned the Replacements, ban Elvis Costello. You weren't banned as far as I know. Did anyone say a thing?
No. No, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Did they, you know, because they always run it like 10 seconds delayed. So did they beep it or clearly they didn't?
No. No, I saw it as it happened live. I'll tell you that. I was a young person. I was like, oh, shit, they're probably going to get in trouble. And because I was whatever, I just knew that show. They would be like, oh, you can't do certain things to the guests and the hosts. And then I feel like you were maybe even in a skit. I'm just, this is total a sketch. Sorry,
I was in a skit. Yeah.
You were in a sketch playing like a young man or something. I don't remember what you did.
I know. Seems crazy now.
It was a bit of a stretch.
I was a young man.
You were playing like and you were the only one, I think, from the Beastie Boys in a thing.
Well, yeah, I'm the one, you know, I have a resume. You know, I've been in the theater and film, television.
You were the actor,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still I know you still do, but is that, oh, sorry, were you going to say something else about that?
I don't even know what we were talking about.
We're talking about SNL. SNL and sketches.
Oh, yeah, Saturday Night Live is a huge deal. Come on. I wanted to say this, though. So, you know, most of these shows, you know, the band comes on, they play their song, and that's cool. You know, and certainly now it's a thing where, especially Saturday Night Live, bands do a whole thing. You know, it wasn't like that before. It was just like you'd come and you'd do your song and that's it. Now bands have sets, you know, and just design and just fantastic.
Yeah.
But we didn't used to have that. And shows, you know, a lot of shows like, you know, American Bandstand and Soul Train, these shows that we went on, you know, you just lip sync the song and a band would not even actually be playing and you have to just sort of pretend. And we did get in trouble at American Bandstand because we were fucking around too much. So we were on Soul Train. It was awesome. Then they asked us to go back on Soul Train. It's all, this stuff's in the book,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it is.
But we didn't want to just lip sync, right? Even though we had to lip sync. So we recorded a whole new version of whatever song we were doing. And so we lip synced like the weird alternative version. And it had like all this audience call and response, say ho, like all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just saying like, why this is so stupid. Why not have fun with it? I know that sounds really stupid. We're lucky. I mean, we're lucky enough to be in this position to do something, to be on fucking Soul Train. Why not make it special?
But I'm saying. But what I'm getting at, Adam, and you can't maybe be objective about it, is every time I saw you guys on TV at the MTV Awards or whatever, all the stuff we've been talking about, and a lot of this, by the way, for folks who didn't see it at the time, is most of it's on YouTube. I know this because I watch it sometimes. I get into Beastie Boys wormholes. A Beatsy wormhole, I call it. Anyway, it just seemed to me more than most. You mentioned the sets and everything that people do on SNL. I just feel like every time you went up, you were like, fuck it. let's make this memorable. We're going to do something unique. And you popped. And very few artists have that, where they do something like that. Sometimes it's very like, yeah, they played their song, it was fine. You guys seem to make an extra effort to pop. That's all I'm getting at. I don't know what, if that's Yauch being like...
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
No, here's the thing. We you know, we came to play. You know, we didn't go out there to scrimmage. We went out for the W every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and what's the point? Are you, you know, are we doing this or we're not doing this?
I'm telling you...
that's the way we saw it.
I think they're all W's. I just want to say that as a fan and as a viewer.
I don't know about all W's.
Listen, man, I watch a lot of these things, and I want to tell you, you guys would always stand out. And I'm biased because I'm a lifelong fan, but I'm telling you, it was always exciting for me. And I think I would say, hey, high school people, watch this. I taped it on my VHS tape. Come over to my house. Let's watch Beastie Boys, what they did. I was a nerd.
Is that what you called your friends in high school? High school people?
High school people. Come see me.
High school people.
I would go on the PA. Attention, high school people. Go to Visha's house. I'm not giving you my address either. But anyway, my point was, I just wanted to commend you on that. I want to ask you a couple more things. You mentioned acting. Most of us know you as being primarily a musician. In Beastie Boys, and that being a primary pursuit, you've played music with others in various other capacities. You act. Since Beastie Boys stopped, are you?
I cook.
Oh, you cook in the toaster oven. Yeah, we've established that. You swim. You swim and you cook. At least.
What can I do?
What else can you do? What do you consider your primary sort of creative outlets as we're speaking? I've long wondered if. For those who don't know, and it's in the book, and I didn't quite know this until I read the book, that Beastie Boys write rhymes collaboratively. The thing you heard, if you heard Adam Ad-Rock say, I think twice before I start flossing, I've been in your bathroom often, you would laugh and think, oh, that Adam, but it could have been the other Adam, it could have been Mike, right? Like, you guys would write together in that capacity, is that correct?
That was mine. That was definitely mine. I'm just taking credit for that stroke of...
Mention Crawl Space real quick, because I just think... I know you don't love that record from what you talk about in the book.
I am saying that you are absolutely the only person who's ever mentioned that song. Ever. And that is the hit off that album. Like, if you ask me, ask Mike, ask Adam, that's the best song on that whole
okay.
record.
I love
and you were literally the only person who's ever said anything about it.
What does that
good or bad?
What does that say to you about me? Does that make you?
It makes me feel connected.
Okay, good. I love that, like a floss in your teeth, with between your fingers. We're connected. I just think you guys were very funny. What was my point there? Oh yeah, you would write collaboratively. Have you written a rap since the Beastie Boys stopped functioning yourself?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure I have. You know, I write things from time to time.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a, you know, New York Times bestselling author.
Yeah. No.
So, you know,
I
keep the Word docs open.
So you will occasionally, you will have these impulses to write rhyming words.
Yes.
Okay. But what happens to them? Do you record them? Do you do anything with them, per se, beyond getting them out of your system?
Not so much.
Okay.
Maybe I will, but I haven't.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm real busy.
No, I know. And my original question, I went on a ramble, but that
so,
is something.
So busy.
Sorry, I'm going to wrap this up soon. Is that, I can take a hint.
I literally have nothing to do. But, okay.
No, I want to be mindful of the time. My point was going to be, what is your primary, if you have primary creative outlets besides swimming, cooking, and occasionally writing things in Word docs, what is it right now? Is it acting? What do you do, so to speak, to kind of express yourself?
I make music on my computer every day.
Every day?
Pretty much.
Do you share it with Mike or anyone else?
Especially not Mike.
No.
He's not to be trusted. Seriously, don't trust him.
He's hunting for that hard drive right now on the trolley car I mentioned.
Oh, it's way worse than that.
So you keep it. God. I'm going to, again, I have to be careful. I don't want to get emotional. I'm trying to keep composed. I said this to a band the other day. that selfishly I miss Beastie Boys because I have this with a few different artists. When someone passes away, I can't help but think about how we're missing them. But I also operate in like, I wonder what Beastie Boys are doing. When you don't have an album out, they must be cooking up something. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. I know they are somewhere lurking about. Sorry, that sounded insidious. It's probably true of Mike. Let's be fair. He's lurking about, and you're.
What did you hear?
I just something you said earlier. I'm gleaning stuff from that. My point is, I miss how much positivity every record brought into the world. I miss the way it made me think about things. It is incredibly sad on that level for me to not have that. And I feel selfish about that because you lost so much more and we all lost so much more. But it is heartening to know that you are still doing stuff because you are my favorite rapper and you are my, you know, you, Adam, are one of my favorite people. So it just means a lot to me to hear that because the absence is, I'm sure I'm not the only one who would say that. The absence is hard and I get it, but it's hard to not. I just want to say that, and I'm going to keep my shit together here.
All right. Well, then I better do something with this music, because I shouldn't just... well, now I got to do
I'm sorry. Jesus. No pressure. I didn't mean to put pressure and tears.
No
in,
pressure.
But, no, that's nice to hear. Do you correspond with Mike at all about sort of your activities, creative or otherwise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing okay? He's doing well?
Mike?
Yeah.
He's doing fantastic.
Is he?
he's actually doing really, really well. Yeah.
That's good. No, that's great.
Mike and I have a plan. We're going to start playing squash.
Yeah. That's our main plan. Mike is also in California, right? That's where he lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're neighbors now, so to speak.
Ish,
yeah.
Yeah. But we figured that's a funny thing to do is to start playing squash. So we're going to start doing.
Real quick, speaking of Mike, maybe this will be real quick. I love Bob Dylan as well. And Mike, I don't know if we should tell the whole story here. It's in the book, and it's briefly sort of in the movie, that Mike got to encounter Bob Dylan at a Dolly Parton birthday celebration somewhere around 88, something like that, 87, 88 or something like that, maybe 89, one of those years. And it's a very funny interaction. Bob Dylan is interestingly weird. I was surprised to hear that Mike the biggest Bob Dylan fan, or was he the biggest Bob Dylan fan in the group? I only ask because I often feel like Yauch is one of the ones who quotes him the most, Dylan specifically.
Right. I mean, we've all, I think it's probably equal.
Yeah. Are you a big fan?
Yeah. Bob Dylan. I'm sorry. Dylan.
The story Mike tells, did you witness it or is it just him telling you? You saw the whole thing happen.
Of course we did.
I wasn't sure if you were.
It's
like,
a really long story, but
yes.
The full story is in the book, Beastie Boys book, available, you know, at stores and the internet, Amazon.
Yes.
And it's also on the Audible book, where someone reads the story to you book.
Which is wonderful.
Which is somewhere Audible.
My sister was right. All 13 hours are pure gold. I will say, Spike Jones, I had to rewind and play for my family as I was driving them all back from school and work yesterday. I rewound the Spike Jones one for them.
Mm-hmm.
It has cusses, which I forgot. But I think that might be my favorite and funniest. I say this because I listened to it yesterday. I don't mean to. Do you like the Spike section in particular where he's describing photographs? Are you familiar with this audiobook?
I'm trying to remember with Spike. I mean,
he seems very funny. He just seems extremely funny. Is he in the movie? No. He's funny. On the audiobook, he's funny.
He's fine. He's a little overrated, don't you think?
That's not his fault. If he's overrated, that's everyone else's fault.
That's true.
It's not his fault.
No, I guess I don't really remember it because I'm friends with Spike for a long time, so him talking on a thing is just like him talking. So it didn't seem weird to me. The weird thing is that like Rachel Maddow reads stories in our book. Do you know what I mean?
Who conceived of the audiobook to be this elaborate, because my wife, you specifically?
Me. Yes.
You made some calls.
Well, I have just an audiobook with me. And who wants to listen to me and Mike talk for fucking 13 hours?
It is, in that also is an incredible feat. Congratulations. I know I was making fun of audiobooks earlier because I'm a jerk, but I think it's astounding that you put that, you got that many people together to do that. It's a testament to you guys, obviously. So yeah, good work on that.
Well, thank you. I'm proud of it. I'm actually very proud of it.
Did you have a hands-on role? It sounds like you don't even remember what Spike said.
Very.
You were involved in all.
Well, I mean, I don't remember what Spike said, but you know, I was very hands-on. Believe me,
it's wonderful. I can't tell you how much I love it more than what I've already said. And I want to thank you, Adam. For I know the book came out, movie came out 2020. The book came out longer ago than that, 2018. So I appreciate you going through this exercise with me about something that I think is still needs to be processed. I described it in a review as like a book that felt like a mixtape to me. Does that make sense?
I mean, the whole idea was to make it like one of our records, where it's just like goes everywhere, just all over the place.
Yeah.
With all different types of things. We certainly didn't want it to just be, you know, 100 pages of boring story and then like 4 pages of pictures and then, you know what I mean? Like the same thing.
Yeah.
That's out there.
Well, like I say, to me, it became interactive because I was adding all of the music you mentioned and making playlists and all the shit you're supposed to do and buying records and wonderful. Thank you, Adam.
That's what I wanted to do. So
you wanted me to lose some money specifically.
Yes.
That was your goal.
I get a
Vish,
kickback.
We got to get Vish in Canada, fucking spend a bunch of money on shit we think will. Okay. That's good. Mission accomplished on every front. So we've talked nebulously about what you're doing. Anything coming up? Film? Any projects we should be looking forward to?
I might go visit my friends in Maine.
Oh, cool.
This summer. Yeah, that's about it.
Have you been to Maine before?
I have, yeah.
That's nice. Nice. Yeah, I've never been up there. Yeah. That's kind of like it's kind of like Canada, isn't it? It's got a Canadian feeling.
Yeah, it's nice. I got no plans.
Okay.
But I'll just, I got no plans.
If people want to learn,
but I will.
You will have plans, and then
I will have plans.
You'll tell me. Will you send me a note and tell me the plans?
I'll shock the world.
Sorry to be so heavy about the music. I was told myself.
No. I appreciate it.
Compose myself.
I appreciate it. And you know, and it's one of these things where I've got all these hard drives of all this music we have, and I'm like, one day I'll get to it. One day I'll get to it. So maybe I'll get to it today.
Hearing a little prompt from a fan like me might actually.
There you go.
Get the toaster oven going and you make some snacks and then you'll actually dig in. No, it's great. I appreciate it. So this is a weird one, but if people want to learn more about you and Beastie Boys, one of the greatest bands of all time, I don't get the sense you're a very active social media person yourself. Is that fair?
Very fair.
You have a handle on Twitter, but you don't really use it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't engage with the world on that level, probably.
It's so much.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Okay, so I think, as I said, look up Adam on the Twitter, but he doesn't do very much, is what we're establishing. Every once in a while,
I have your Twitter, I have your Instagram, I have these things.
Do you have Instagram? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, I follow you on there. I forgot you got like a weird handle on there, don't you? It's not like Ad Rock.
It's a long story. It's Garbage Feet. It's a long story.
Yes, I follow you. I remember that. Sorry, it escaped me. I'm like, there's no Ad Rock, at Ad Rock, or at Adam. H? Okay, Garbage Feet. By the way, I bought your shoes. A few years ago, you designed some shoes.
Huh?
That's something. You're a cobbler.
And?
They kind of fell apart.
Designer cobbler. They did?
They did a little bit.
Really?
I'm just kidding. No, I wore them. I wore them a bunch, but they. This is an awkward way to end. I love them. They're great. I like them. But they
That's
did.
That's weird that they
one
fell
day
apart.
One day my foot cause... got. My. I thought Garbage Feet might be because. No, I'm just kidding. My one.
How hard do you walk?
I walk.
You, like,
I
stomp when you walk?
To be clear, I would walk.
You drag your feet?
Every day I would walk 80 minutes to work, like 40 minutes, and I would walk.
I'm not sending you a new pair.
No, no,
I
wasn't.
If that's what this is about, I'm definitely not sending you.
Are you making more shoes?
Not now. Okay. No.
No, they were really cool. They were like ecologically friendly and all that stuff, right? They were
all that stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, all that stuff.
They said AH on them, I think. I have them in the closet somewhere.
They said Horovitz. Yeah. And it's my friend.
Yeah.
It's my friend's sneaker company called Keep. K E E P.
Wonderful. No, they were cool. I liked them. I was so excited to get them. They were some sort of small run, as I recall, too. I'm just trying to convey to you.
Limited edition.
I like you and I like Beastie Boys. And I was like, I'm going to fucking buy their shoes. I don't even give a shit. I don't need shoes. I like Adam. I'm going to buy some shoes. All this to say,
thank you.
People can learn more about Beastie Boys by Googling and going to their websites. And is there a new there was something.
However they get information, they people know what to do, right, at this point. If you don't know what to do, ask somebody.
Ask somebody on the internet or in real life. This is a bit strange, potentially. Usually when I have guests on, Adam, I ask them to pick a song from their catalog, or rather, usually a new release to go out on. We have a catalog artist here. There's nothing new we're promoting. If you could pick a Beastie Boy song for us to go out on and me to potentially face a copyright claim for, can you give me an idea of what song you'd like to go out on? Right now.
Well, you should play that. You should play Crawl Space because you brought it up.
I did bring it up.
It's fucked up. It's not funny, but it's really funny. It's stupid. It's a very, very stupid song. And I believe that all three of us are very proud of this song.
Okay. That's a fair one. From the, I think, and many like me think, excellent Beastie Boys album, To the Five Boroughs. This is Crawl Space by Beastie Boys. Adam Horovitz. I hope I've conveyed to you enough what this means to me. I can't thank you enough for being, by the way, just a nice, normal person I can email with. No handlers, no nothing. This was so sweet and kind.
I have handlers.
I know. Believe me.
If you want to talk to them.
I've tried.
You want to talk
I've
to them,
tried to interact with the handlers over the years, and it's never really worked out. Yeah. I just want to say.
Well, here we are.
I just want to say, thank you for being a good and decent and nice person that someone I've looked up to most of my life. It really means a lot to me to speak with you. So I hope you enjoyed this on some small level, and I wish you the best of luck in the future, and maybe we'll talk again.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for, wanting me to be on the thing. See you later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. It's a dedication to all you backstabbers, fighting and fighting.
There's a party going on in here for real. I got more product than Ron Popeil, so deal with that, troop of troopers. The only airtime you get is on bloopers. Beatsy boys in the place, up in the space. Renovate or evacuate. You better think twice before you start flossing. I've been in your bathroom often, taking punk MCs out. I'm all about my to-do list today. It's time to party out. Party out in here. No room to breathe. I got my pen in my hand, so you best not sleep. No, I'm not Herman Munster. No, Dr. Spock. I go by the name of the King and Rock. So here's a match. My ass in your face. Listen when I tell you, dog. I'm in your crawl space. Crawl space. Crawl space. Crawl space.
You're in front of my house and you know that's whack. Pop my rhymes with a scanner from Radio Shack. You suckers try to front like you got the force. About to slay you like Vader, sip you for a first course. Don't even get me started on that intercourse. Don't step into my zone or even periphery. Can't get a hold of my style, it's too slippery. The way you act a fool's when you can't erase. And you're running on your way like a steeplechase. You try to take my title, put it back in place. But now you're busted, wearing panties and lace. Stealing my style from the trophy case. But my drive's secure like on an army base. You're sneaking and you're peeking and you're trying to give chase. You ain't never gonna catch me, I'm in your crawl space. Crawl space, crawl space.
Schematics, blueprints, and microphone.
calibrate your sonar when I'm in your realm. Cause you know we're getting scarier and scarier, and this extends beyond the tri-state area. Omnipresent and omnipotent. My rhymes are whales and yours are rodents. This means huge compared to very small. You look a little jelly, can I get you a shawl? Cause these rhymes are 200 proof. They're like anvils lined up on a roof, waiting to drop on your corny melon. Cause we're not buying what you're selling. First you wanna battle, then you start to whine. You're looking hungry, it must be snacks too. So run home where you feel safe, but don't sleep, don't chase. I'm in your crawl space, crawl space, crawl space.
What was that about?
You know, maintenance needs.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What can I say? That's a thrill. That's a thrill of a lifetime. I just want to thank Adam Horovitz. I want to thank my friends Guy and Kathy for connecting me with Adam. And Adam, I don't know what else to say. Thank you so much for appearing on this, the 770th episode of Creative Control. 770th, I say. Thank you to Adam. Thanks to you out there listening. Creative Control is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode you're looking for, if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook if you like, or you can follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative, or follow me directly on Instagram and Twitter at vishkana. You can also visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation support this podcast. $6 American or more a month grants you access to exclusive content. You get episodes earlier, you get bonus stuff. If you want to receive a Creative Control t-shirt, just message me on the Patreon there and I'll get you one while supplies last. And yeah, again, it doesn't have to be $6. It could be any amount you want. It could be $4. It could be $25 a month. Whatever you feel is affordable for you and maybe you know, worth supporting this show and keeping it going. It means a lot, so thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks again to the amazing Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about and order things via their website there, blackbird.ca. They are located at Edmonton and Calgary in terms of bricks and mortar. Brick and mortar? Is it bricks and mortar? There are multiple bricks. I don't know what that expression is. You know what I mean? They have stores. That are buildings. And you can learn more about all of that stuff, again, at blackbird.ca. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks, as always, to my friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use some music of his on this show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. And finally, I can't thank him enough. Thank you, Adam Horovitz, for being on this show. And for those of you listening to this, if you head over to the Creative Control YouTube channel at some point soon, if not already, you will see a very touching thing for me. My son, who's 11 years old, got to ask Adam three questions. We turned it into a little video, a little bit of 11-year-old journalism, and it's great. It means a lot to me. My son, over the moon, cannot believe they got to meet and interact with Adam Ad-Rock Horovitz from Beastie Boys. And so it's a fun thing, so if you want to check that out. Otherwise, thank you for listening to this episode and for checking out Creative Control, subscribing to it and following it and all that stuff if you can, and maybe telling your friends about it and maybe they'll do the same things. Thank you. Thank you, Adam, Guy, Kathy. Thank you all for listening. I will talk to you soon. I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm so overwhelmed by this. Okay, I gotta go. I'm wandering away from the microphone. I'm just gonna talk this whole time. Okay, bye for now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.